Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic View Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and all major podcast providers. You can also visit our website at www.theorganicview.com, where you can subscribe to our newsletter to find out about upcoming guests, features, events, and other shows on our network. If you have any questions or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please visit us on Facebook, Twitter, or send us an email to questions@theorganicview.com. On today's show, the folks from lionaid.org are back to discuss the crisis in Africa regarding the rapidly declining lion population and a recent victory in Zambia. Gandhi once said, "The greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way in which its animals are treated." These famous words clearly apply when it comes to the world's lion population as it continues to rapidly decline. LionAid.org estimates that there are 645 to 795 wild lions remaining in Western and Central Africa. In Eastern and Southern Africa, 14,450 wild lions remain, for a continental total of 15,244 wild lions. Now, regardless, LionAid is making progress. Recently, LionAid received the news about a very big decision made by the government in Zambia regarding a moratorium on big cat trophy hunting. On today's show, I have the pleasure of welcoming one of the founders and one of the most amazing people you could ever speak to about lion conservation, Dr. Peter Catt. Dr. Catt has spent 12 years researching lions in Botswana and has been working with Chris McSween very closely to reach out to different folks, whether in government or different organizations, to protect the remaining lions that are left. And without their work, we wouldn't even be able to say that we have the lines that we do have. These folks are really working very diligently. So, folks, if you do have the opportunity, please show your support to LionAid. And at the end of the show, we'll tell you more information about their website and how to connect with them. They are always open to support from other organizations as well as individuals. So I would like to welcome to the show Dr. Peter Catt. Good afternoon, or rather good evening, Dr. Catt.
June, I don't know what to say about that wonderful introduction.
You're welcome.
No, but thank you. And thank you for giving us the opportunity as LionAid to be on your show. We have talked to you lots of times in the past. And I think, you know, what we are both you and I deciding on is a new formula about how to conserve Africa's wildlife best. And I think that you know, we're struggling here because in the past we had a lot of organizations who said, okay, what we are going to do is we're going to take responsibility for you, our donors, and our taxpayers for international organizations to ensure that our international heritage, because, you know, what I think we must accept is that all of us in the world are now custodians of whatever little wildlife is still in existence all over the world.
Everyone should be concerned, but unfortunately, as I've observed many times, usually people don't get involved until they have a personal reason for getting involved, or things get to the point where it is so devastating that something needs to be done collectively as a society. And considering the fact that this show has grown tremendously in population with over 3 million listeners globally, people are really starting to come around, which is a good thing. But regardless, we still need to get the cooperation of the government, you know, everywhere to recognize this as a cause that really needs collective support. Now, Dr. Kat, before we get into the victory in Zambia, could you please talk about the recent study from Duke University?
Yeah, June, Duke University is an internationally recognized institution of national educational excellence, right? I think the professors and the students who go to Duke University have a really justifiable level of pride to work for the institution and also to be at the institution and to learn. Now, what the Duke University program did, and this is from Stuart Pym, who is one of the professors there. What they did is they recently published an estimate, and I emphasize that word estimate, about lion populations in Africa. Now, the reason why they did this is I think that Duke University is quite concerned about lion populations in Africa, but the way they went about it, I think is open to challenge, because what they did, right, is they took satellite imagery of Africa and decided to what extent there are still savanna habitats where the lions live remaining on the continent. And then what they did is they said, okay, well, you know, we've got this amount of land, savanna habitats, remaining in Africa, and they noted, you know, a huge decline over the years. But they said, okay, now that we've got this amount of savanna habitat, we will extrapolate 32,000 lions into that savanna. And by extrapolate, I mean that they did not go out and they didn't count lions or anything like that. They said, okay, if there is this amount of habitat available, what we can do is we can say by extrapolation that there are going to be this amount of lions. Now, June, this got me a little bit hot under the collar, okay? Because what we have had in the past is an extensive amount of extrapolation of lion populations into Africa by organizations like the IUCN, by the pro-hunting organizations, and now by Duke University. But what very few people do is actually take the time to see how many lions there are. So it's like me telling you, okay, June, I don't know what the contents of your fridge are, but I'm going to extrapolate that you have 25 steaks and you have 35 pieces of whatever. And this is the concern that I have. I don't know what's in your fridge, but I'm going to extrapolate what you have to eat in the future.
Now, let me just get this straight. When they did the research, they used a satellite map. Is that correct?
Yes, June. What they did is they looked at satellite imagery, okay? And, you know, it was a very interesting exercise in terms of
how to try to use a computer, I think, because I think they would have fared better if they used Google Street Maps. I mean, to be quite honest with you, that's very disappointing coming from a very well-respected university such as Duke. You would think that with the sophistication that their laboratories and the monies that are spent on research would offer to their team that they would actually have done something that would be a little bit more sophisticated. I mean, you could have a third grader that could do a better research study than simply using satellite imagery. I think that's pathetic.
Well, what they did, June, was that they looked at historical and present satellite imagery, and they looked at the decline of the savanna habitat in Africa. And that is perfectly fair, all right? We all know that wildlife habitat is declining to a huge extent in Africa because the savanna habitat that is available to wild animals is being invaded by livestock. It's being invaded by agriculture because, you know, what we have in Africa these days is a growing human population. And that growing human population, as, you know, for example, let's say in the 1800s, 1900s in the United States, we had a huge growing human population that took over, let's say, the prairies and converted them to agriculture and converted them to livestock grazing habitats. This exact same thing is happening right now in Africa. And can you blame the people in Africa for doing this? Of course you can't. Of course you can't. Because what we have right now is a situation where the average person in Africa is reaping more profit from converting land to agriculture or livestock grazing than they can possibly earn from wildlife conservation. And the reason for that is that the wildlife conservation formula has failed.
So what exactly would you recommend that they do in order to gauge the correct information and some of the other considerations that should be made when doing this type of research?
June, as scientists, as biologists, as decision makers in Africa, as communities in Africa, have very, very long been debating this entire issue. The issue is, how can we in Africa, as a world community, as an African community, actually decide to make a positive difference for the conservation of wildlife versus the needs of the people on the ground? This is where all African conservation programs have hit the rocks, because we cannot decide on how to do this.
Before we continue, can you please take a moment to just explain to our audience exactly why is it that these lions are hunted to begin with? Can you just explain their value and the types of groups that are seeking them as trophies and why?
Well, thank you. Thank you, June. I you know, just the other day, what I did was I took look, what you have to realize is that every tourist who goes to Africa wants to see a lion. That is their main purpose for going to Africa. If you take a tourist and you say, okay, well, look, you can go to this particular country, but you won't see a lion, what they will do is seek an alternative destination. Now, given that, I estimated the value of a lion in Kenya at a live lion, that is, at $357,000 per year. That what I did was I took the amount of tourism money that went into Kenya and divided that by the number of lions. It's a very simple, you know, and it might be a simplistic way of looking at things. And then what I said is that any particular lion in Kenya might live for about 10 years. And I was, again, very conservative. And so a lion in Kenya is worth $3.5 million to the country alive. What then I did was looked at the various countries that still allow trophy hunting, and they're selling lions for $50,000-$60,000 for a 21-day safari, et cetera, et cetera. So let's say that the value of a live lion is $3.5 million, and the value of a dead lion is $40,000 to $50,000. So you can immediately see that the economy of lion hunting just doesn't make any kind of sense.
Well, it's really interesting that just we've gotten to this point even where I'm here talking to you. You're in Spain, correct? And we're even having this conversation at this point, and there isn't more being done by a collective effort, if you will. I mean, it's, all the work that you're doing is fantastic, but it's just sad that it's gotten to this point.
Well, it is sad, but, you know, as you know, June, what tends to happen with all of us is that if there is not a crisis, there is no action. And so, you know, unfortunately, we have gotten to this point where, you know, I estimated there were about 15,000 lions in Africa. And I also estimated that, you know, even those small numbers are going down. I mean, for example, June, if you put 15,000 lions into, let's say, a stadium where we watch an NFL game, that would all fit very easily. There would be seats left over. That is the stage that we're at. But those 15,000 lions that remain are all in small little populations here and there. You know, Africa is a huge continent. It's much bigger than the United States. It's much bigger than the United States and Canada. And so what we do is we add up all these little populations and we come up with 15,000. But the actual fact is that there are only 5 populations now remaining in Africa that have any hope for future survival.
That's astonishing. I mean, it's really sad that we're at this point. As with many different species, we're seeing that globally, regardless of what the species is, we are destroying so many different species. It's just, it's really sad.
Now, well, June, I mean, you know, a lot of people are saying, look, we're still discovering new species. We're discovering new species down in the deep sea. We're discovering new species in the forests of Vietnam. But hold on a second. Yes, we are discovering those species, but that comes out of the fact that we haven't been paying attention. And we haven't been paying attention to the major species that mean so much to us in the world. I mean, the lion means a huge amount in terms of human culture, and it's not just human culture in let's say the UK, for example, where there's hundreds and hundreds of lion statues all over the place. It also means a huge amount to people in Iran, in Iraq, in Sri Lanka, in Nepal, in China. The lion is an iconic species in culture and in Africa.
And it's also a necessary predator.
But exactly. So apart from, you know, our sort of anthropologic view of lions, What we are also ignoring is the fact that this species, this lion, has a huge amount to do with maintaining biodiversity in African savannas. What we have seen, for example, in Yellowstone, is that when you took away the wolf, the whole ecosystem changed. You will know this. Your listeners will know this. What we did by restoring the wolf, everything changed.
That's everything from plant life to the quality of the soil, the air, everything is affected. I mean, it's been said numerous times that we are all connected. And I mean, people think that that's some type of a flaky statement by some new age group, but it's not. It's a scientific fact. It's just people are groomed as a society not to be sensitive to different things around us because industry dictates that. And until we actually get it through our heads that, you know, if we wipe out one species that is a key species in nature, it's going to have the domino effect.
Absolutely, June. I mean, you took the words out of my mouth. It's the domino effect. Okay? So what do we want in the world in terms of our future sort of wildlife presence? The domino effect, as we are continuing today, will say, okay, what you have left is going to be cockroaches and rats.
Now, the cockroaches will always survive. It's true. I remember studying that, I think it was in the third grade, and my science teacher, I was just fascinated. I mean, regardless, the cockroaches will survive, but, you know, what does that say as far as our species?
Yeah, and, you know, what are we, you know, the main thing, June, is that, I'm sort of advanced in years. I won't tell you how old I am, but what my generation has not done is taken any kind of consideration in terms of maintaining what is an international heritage and national heritage, etc. What we have allowed is more and more and more destruction, because what we are taught is that what is important to us is a loaf of bread, a hamburger, let's say a piece of lettuce, a computer game, a program on TV that says, you know, how wonderful wildlife is in the world, and we get all these wonderful pictures. But what we are not involved with anymore is nature.
Well, it's kind of hard for us to be involved with nature, especially since kids are not playing with the soil. They're not gardening. They're not out there. They're busy, as you mentioned, with video games. They're not interacting with nature. So it's kind
Absolutely.
Of hard to do that. And the same thing with the food that we eat. Everything is so processed that there's no direct connection to the source. And, you know, that's just a critique on society as it currently exists. But, you know, we do have a long way to go. Now, Dr. Kat, I would like for you to share with our audience about the victory in Zambia. I know that it was a very long process for you and for Chris, and it's something that you've been working on for quite a bit of time. Could you please share with our audience how you got started and basically what happened with the government?
Well, June, where we started was that we felt that the level of trophy hunting in Zambia was way, way, way in excess of any kind of sustainable offtake, right? Let me back up one step. Trophy hunting in any African country is supposed to be sustainable. In other words, you know, if you shoot a lion, there's going to be two more available next year, right? However, what we have assembled in terms of data from Zambia is that these lions are being shot left, right, and center. For example, in 2010, we now know from official CITES records that 169 lion trophies were exported from Zambia in that 1 year. Previous to that, you know, they had levels of 60, 70, something like that. But that 2010 was a record year for them. 105 of those trophies went to Russia. Another huge number went to Canada. I mean, Canada of all countries. What are Canadians doing as a nation with a conservation ethic hunting in Zambia? The USA has always had a huge number of hunters in Zambia. But Zambia has said, look, over all these years, what we have done is we have set aside, listen to this carefully, we have set aside as a country 21% of our land to facilitate trophy hunting.
Although looking at it from a financial opportunity, nothing more.
Yes, but what Zambia was convinced by is that setting aside that amount of land would actually bring in income and would bring in hunters who would sustainably hunt the wildlife in Zambia. Now, if the USA said we are going to put aside 21% of the country's land, what would you think would be the income to the USA?
I have no idea, but all I do know is that it's laziness. It's a short-term solution that really is not a solution. It's actually something that is a facade, because it's actually something that will lead to a gigantic problem. So it's just a matter of not thinking things through. And, you know, such is the case with many countries that are economically depleted and are looking for the fastest way out of their grave. And, you know, to make one sacrifice in an area that could lead to long-term devastation is not something that's on their radar. All they're looking for is immediate relief. And that's unfortunate, but that is the human condition. That is how we think as a species, unfortunately. You know, to just find an immediate solution for something that is long-term.
Yes, but June, I will tell you right now that 21% of Zambia's land set aside for trophy hunting earned the nation exactly $3 million. I mean, can you imagine that? Zambia is a very, very big country. $3 million for setting aside all that land is nothing.
So therefore,
what happened was the minister in Zambia made a very good decision, and she said, enough of trophy hunting. It destroys wildlife. It doesn't pay people. It doesn't bring any income to our country. And so therefore, we need to find a new formula.
Excellent job. So let me ask you, when will the country make the enforced, or when will they enforce the laws? And secondly, what country is next on your agenda?
Well, there's a lot of countries that have taken on the trophy hunting formula. We hope that in the very near future, and I'm talking months, that we will be able to convince Cameroon to stop trophy hunting, and then also Mozambique to stop trophy hunting. Photographic tourism is the answer. Promise you.
Dr. Katt, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Can you please share with our audience your website and also where folks can generously support all of your efforts?
Well, June, thank you very much for that. We are entirely dependent on donations. Our website is at www.lionaid.org. And we, like I said, rely on the world public to support our efforts.
Thank you so much. And also, can you tell our audience how they can keep up to speed with all the things that you're doing? I mean, you post so much information. Do you have a newsletter or any type of opportunities to volunteer with Lion Aid?
Yes, June, we have a newsletter. We have a website. I post blogs on there all the time. And we also have a mailing list, and we would invite people to join that.
Thank you so much. And I look forward to hearing the news about the next country that has agreed to work with you and make the necessary changes to protect our lions. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in. Please visit www.lionaid.org. And whether it's a donation or just time that you can volunteer, please visit their website and connect with the folks there. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic View Radio Show. Have a great afternoon, everyone.